definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Thursday. Good morning and welcome on to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. Alongside David Collier, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White back behind the glass taking care of us. You two can hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, all welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can take just about anywhere with you. Even listen in up in Mary's Igloo, Alaska, if you so choose. Got a lot to get into over the next 3 hours or so. Happy Masters Thursday, David. How do you do?
Pretty good, as long as the weather stops slowing things down there in Augusta.
Yeah, it seems like it's done it a lot in the last few years. I think it's been this first round, if I remember correctly. They had it last year. Had some weather issues, but yeah, got to wait a little longer to see our guy, Aubert.
I got to imagine it's going to be tough to finish your first round as well. That thing starts at...
Is 3:18 now?
3:18 hour time, which is 4:18 there.
Yeah, if it's a 4.5 hour round, he's going to be right at the right at the edge of finishing.
They got things that block the sun a little bit more there too than we do out here trying to finish up a round.
Oh, no doubt. And I think he's, the second to last group to go? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a good chance that he'll have to finish up tomorrow morning. But we shall... we shall see. Y'all can chime in. We'll talk Grant McCasland if you want to. There's a lot of stir and buzz around Grant McCasland's name because there's a lot of stir and buzz around Scott Drew's name for the Kentucky job. Reports are that he went for an interview. I guess he and family went to Lexington.
That's what I understood from a tweet from one of the affiliates there in Waco. It basically was video of a plane that landed in Temple, and it was from the origin of the flight was Lexington, Kentucky, and everybody got off the plane. They were all family members of Scott Drew, but Scott Drew was apparently not on the plane at the time. Now, that's what their report was. Maybe
so they're meeting at a McDonald's in Temple then.
That might be the case, yeah.
Probably it. That's how some of these things go. I don't know. Is Plainview and Lubbock about the same? That's pretty close the same distance, right? Waco to Temple and Plainview to Lubbock. It's got to be
it's fairly
comparable.
I know it's close. It's been a while since I've driven through Temple, Texas, though. But yeah, you're probably about
with
right.
Football, I think the last two trips to Waco, we've stayed in Temple. So.
Yeah, I think that's where we stayed as well.
Yeah, it's somewhere. I mean, it's around the same area. But yeah, we'll dabble in that a little bit today. Talk a little Big 12 football. I've got the highest graded returning players in the Big 12 conference from Pro Football Focus.
We did something along these lines the other day, but I'll guarantee you this much. I probably know one name.
You know one name?
Yeah.
Returning?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Taj.
Okay. He is,
but other
he
than
is
that,
the Texas Tech player.
Yeah, you can save it. I remember us doing something, but it doesn't mean anything other than
this
that.
This one is, it's not the same because one of the names on the list came out, I think, yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
So, Pro Football Focus has been putting out the highest graded player for each Power 5, I don't know, a handful of them a day. And it's rather interesting to see some of these names. We'll see how many you can guess correctly. Not an official pop quiz, don't worry. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on you now.
I might just return the favor if you do. Let's put it that
way. Whoa, that seems a little aggressive. I mean, David, we're just 6 minutes into this thing. You don't need to
at me with a pop quiz talk before the first break.
I said not an official. That's true. Like an old man into a warm bath. We'll We'll just really ease into this thing. No?
No.
Didn't even want the visual, huh?
I did not.
Okay. So, the hot topic, obviously, is McCaslin. Are you worried? Yesterday, someone asked me this question at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, I think it was still during the lunch hour, actually. I said my worry was somewhere, or concern was 10 to 15%.
Yeah, how's that change for you? Nothing's really changed,
no,
though, during...
since that time, because I did expect them... I guess the Drew to Kentucky thing's more of a reality than it was even at that point yesterday. Like, more has come out that sounds like he's really considering this. So maybe it's 25%, but it's still not way up there. Not yet. That being said, I've been burned as a Red Raider fan, as a college sports fan, too many times to be naive and think that it's not going to happen. To think, I mean, I could sit here and give you a ton of reasons why Grant McCaslin should stay and why he would stay. But at the same time, Chris Beard had 50,000 reasons to stay in Lubbock, Texas, and he didn't. So, I don't know. There was an underlying thing with Chris Beard leaving of, oh, he knew that the SEC, or that the big, that Texas was leaving for the SEC, and he thought the Big 12 was going to dissolve too. There was some of that that went into his decision making. But I don't know. I guess I'm not going to lose sleep over Grant McCaslin.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to until it happens. Then you have to worry about it again.
We'll address it if we get there. But I think to really start being concerned or worried, we got to at least see if Scott Drew's leaving Baylor.
Yeah, I think that's when the siren sound, if you will, following the theme of radio shows this morning.
Well done.
Because I, without going through the list right now, I think I could come up with more reasons to go than I could reasons to stay. And I look at it a little bit different than you do, because of your allegiance. But
well, I would probably find about a 50-50 split, but it's how much you put weight in certain reasons, like alma mater. Because for me, my alma mater in Texas Tech, if they come calling, it'd be a hard decision not to make. And not say that I work around and with Texas Tech right now, but it's how weighted are these particular things for Grant McCaslin? What are these things matter to him? How much influence does his wife, who's a Red Raider, have in the decision? Because we know wives matter. We do. Tubby Smith can tell us that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
If you can remember.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of different layers. But I think the first domino that has to fall, I guess it'd be the second domino that has to fall would be Scott Drew electing to take the job in Kentucky. Y'all can chime in on that. We'll continue the conversation. We got some headlines for you, what you need to know, coming up next on 100.7 The Score.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Thursday. Happy Masters Thursday. It is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com, the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by Happy State Bank. Speaking of the Masters, David, have you taken a peek at the odds for this morning as they're about to start the tournament?
The only odd that the odds that I paid attention to was Aubert, and I know he was 9 or 8 the last time I had looked.
Okay,
which was the second. Do you know? I did not know this, and I know we call them patrons there. Do you know what patrons they call people that are playing in their first Masters? Him and Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark actually has better odds than Aubert.
How is Wyndham Clark playing in his first Masters? That's what I was having, because his name's been on the map for a few years.
And he won a major last year.
Yeah, I think it was last year.
But do you know what they call rookies playing in their first Masters?
I've heard it before. I cannot. No.
Debutants.
Debutants. I have heard debutants.
Yes, debutants. But that's the extent. I know that those two are rookies that have the best odds, and Ludwig was second on the debutants.
The old Deb.
Odds to win it.
Debutante. Wasn't that one of the names in the...
Oh, it should have been.
I think it was.
Really?
Yeah, in the...
Voting? Which you could... Is it still open for... Are you talking about horse
names? No, I'm talking about in the office when they do the game. It drips off your tongue like molasses. What's the game they played?
I don't remember.
The Killing in Georgia or whatever.
I know what you're talking. Yeah, but I don't remember.
I think Debutante was...
Really?
I would say that was Pam's name.
That
would
have been a good horse name.
It would have been a great horse name. Dang it.
I think I got to... I just watched the episode where they vandalized Pam's mural and they fired the guy that did it.
Yeah.
And, of course, boom, Mike Bryan getting up in everybody's business here. I don't like that guy. But
yeah,
that's where I'm at. So I'm like home stretch.
Boom, Mike Bryan.
That's how I remember his name.
Yeah. So Masters odds, by the way, Scottie Scheffler, a heavy favorite, 4.5, going off at 4.5-1. Rory McIlroy and John Rahm, both 12-1 odds. Brooks Koepka, as well as Xander Schauffele, 16-1. So that's your top five. Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, Joaquin Niemann, all at 22-1. So Åberg has dropped down to ninth, along with Wyndham Clark now tied for the odds at 25-1. So you go place your bets. You better do so now because they're about to tee off. Probably. I don't know. On the,
and if you're going to do the bet on Åberg, just know that nobody's won it in their first time since Fuzzy Zeller in 1979.
Fuzzy! That's a throwback.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a long time.
I did see there was one guy that was putting out a formula of all these criteria of what you pick Masters winners, and this is like this many out of 10. This, the last... Out of 10 times, I think everybody, you haven't had a repeat winner in, since Tiger did it in, I want to say 2005. It's been a really long time since Tiger did it. Almost 20 years. You can knock out old John Rahm.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I was happy that he won.
Oh, sure.
Last year, but.
Sure. Yeah. Mark says, happy. Yeah, there's a lot of criteria. I'll have to pull them up. Happy Masters morning to y'all. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line, returning to the McCaslin conversation. DC, I think, Choice needs a pop quiz. I don't think he does. Big Huey says, if Kirby can't keep him, fire Kirby and riot at the Womble.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean.
Bobby Hot Dog says, the alma mater. Always wins out. It did with Beard, and it will with McCaslin if Baylor wants him. It doesn't always win out, but I'd say it is.
And it certainly doesn't always work out.
Sorry, Cliff. I would say, 90% of the time it wins out? Probably true. But there's people that leave their alma maters to go for the Kentucky jobs and to go for the bigger jobs, right? We've seen that happen. We've seen guys that played at a school and, hey, this is my one chance to go for something big. But on something that would be a lateral job at worst, and right now Baylor's probably a better job than Texas Tech. But even if you called them lateral jobs, if it's a lateral job and alma mater comes knocking, then
yeah,
there's a pretty good chance he's going to go. Again, lots of influencing factors. Like, who's got the better facilities? Well, the Womble, Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Overall arena, Baylor just built a new one. Better fan support? You're going to find that at Texas Tech. Who's got a national championship? recent one, Baylor. There's you can tip back and forth on the scales quite a bit. But again, alma mater might outweigh all of that, depending on how it matters to you.
Well, and I think I mentioned this yesterday too. Alma mater, and even though your wife did go here, not necessarily like you're not like settled in. It's not like you've established something.
You're right.
You have 5 years of something to work with, or 3 years. You know, you've laid all of this foundation for a program. Right now, you've got a lot of work to do to completely rebuild a roster.
Sure.
Do you want to do that here or there if you are offered that job? And that goes along with the alma mater and all of that stuff.
Which is truly why Scott Drew's got a decision to still be made, right? I mean, because he has fully entrenched himself in Waco. I mean, he's been there as long as I can remember. Well, there was a murder scandal that I kind of remember, but he's been there long.
He's been there since then.
Since then.
And that's the thing that I think about with this. There are a couple of things that make me think that he might stay in Waco. One is, like you said, he's built that tradition. He's built that foundation. He basically is Baylor basketball in this iteration and what people think of it now, as opposed to the awfulness that was there before him. And he built it from nothing, like zero. That's what he did. He's responsible for that. Another thing is, he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to post a picture of himself at a local Mexican restaurant if he decides to leave for Lexington the very next day. That doesn't seem like something he would do, right?
I would agree. And
the other one is, I go back to Homer Drew. When Homer Drew and Bryce hit that shot, I think it was in Oklahoma City, and everybody learned where Valparaiso was, or what Valparaiso was.
What it is, yeah.
Wait,
that's a school.
I think that right there was a good time for Homer Drew. You know, his kid hits his shot. I'm assuming Bryce probably graduated after that. People are like, oh, wow, this guy, you know, pulled an upset off. And usually when that happens, that coach gets another job pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
He stayed at Valparaiso, and he was loyal to the school where he, you know, built something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Scott is like his dad in that sense.
It's possible. It is possible. Or maybe everybody's just looking at the wrong thing. Scott Drew takes the job in Kentucky, and then they go get Bryce Drew from, where's he at, Grand Canyon right now?
Yep.
And take that job. Not the craziest thing.
I think Bryce has already failed at Vanderbilt, though, right? Didn't he coach at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's Vanderbilt, though. Yeah, I'm guessing that
Vanderbilt, the Texas Tech of the South.
I think Texas Tech. Or I think Grant McCaslin and Jerome Tang are probably the first two phone calls that are made.
Yes.
But I do think it's still a very big if. And we'll see. Yeah, we need to see it happen before my just actual worry level ramps up a lot. Plenty more from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Get back to some of that. Talk a little baseball. Some Big 12 football coming up. It's the bottom line I want. Nope. End of the bench on 100.7 The Score. Dang it!
We'll let you stick around.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Alongside David Collier, I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White back behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up. The thoughts, the comments, questions, all of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. What's your over-under for Lucas White eye rolls you get in one show?
That I see, probably about 8.5.
Okay. 8.5, that's probably fair. I just got one for almost tearing down the set. So that was probably a warranted one, but
for Collier, it's how many times he touches the microphone.
Okay.
Yeah, I do touch that microphone quite a bit.
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch it. It's against the rules. Come on, David.
Well, but then yesterday I did this. No, you can't. This one doesn't squeak. That one squeaks.
Oh, yeah. I'm in your spot.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Yeah.
That was a bad idea.
Lost your train of thought.
It's time for a pop quiz.
Did I really?
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
believe it.
Hey, David.
Yeah, what's up, Joyce?
Did you see what happened with the Rangers last night?
They won a baseball game?
They did. And Bruce Bochy got his 2100th career win.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take it easy on you.
Okay.
I need you to give me, they're out of the top 10 managers of all time. You already have one.
Yeah.
You already have one. Because Bochy's in the top 10. I need you to give me top 10 managers of all time who has the, I need you to give me six of those guys.
Six
when it comes to the winningest managers of all time.
Okay.
A lot of these guys, some of them have sub 500 records as a whole. Baseball is a little different, but
yeah, they coached a long time.
Yes.
So I got to start now.
Yeah, go ahead. You are a son of a gun.
You know what's funny? You know what I know is funny?
What?
I was going to do the same exact pop quiz to you.
No.
Yeah. This has been up. Look at my tabs.
The exact same one.
Yeah.
You have too many tabs open.
I know, but I'm just showing you. Where is that tab located? That's been up since before the show started.
Dang it, man. What is your problem? All right, go. I've barely looked at the list.
Joe Torre.
No, I'm good. I'm doing it now.
Okay, go.
Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, Connie Mack, okay. Sparky Anderson.
Okay, there's four.
I don't have it pulled up anymore. Oh, crud.
Really?
Some guy named McCarthy.
I need his first name.
Joe.
Joe, there you go. Five. So Bruce Bochy would be six, but you got to give me more than that. No.
Dusty Baker.
There you go, seven.
Tony La Russa.
Eight.
My memory shot now.
Did you say Bobby Cox?
I did say Bobby Cox. Okay. That was the second one I said.
John McGraw.
Didn't get that one.
And Bucky Harris.
Bucky Harris.
Don't be coming at me with some random pop quiz that I already had pulled up.
Did you really?
Yes.
You really like Scout's Honor. You really?
Yes. It's right in the middle.
I didn't know if you just changed that tab out for something else.
Look, and here's, I mean, I did this. Dang it.
You had the exact one.
Yeah, I pulled up I did that the first thing whenever I walked in.
If you'd have just closed the tab, you should have been well studied on it.
No.
When were you going to tell me to do it?
Later in the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So
you ruined my pop quiz. Now I've got to come up with a different one for you.
Or you could just leave it be.
Okay. Fair enough. Back to the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. CW, I came across an article that Lubbock, apparently the city is no longer has public pools open for kids. That's a shame. Maybe you can donate some of your Woodman Estates fortune to help poor kids of Lubbock have a place to play this summer and stay out of jail. What is this, the 50s? You go to the pool so you stay out of jail? And then in, what was it, the 40s? You stay out of the pool so you don't get polio? I do think that's odd. You don't have a single city pool anymore that's open because the one that's left, I guess Clap. I saw the same article. Clap will not open this summer. I didn't click on it to know the reasoning, so can't really speak to it.
It's very odd.
It's odd.
Unfortunate.
I think the YWCA still has one.
I know one pool that I don't think it's open to the public, but
Chuck's?
Yours.
I don't have a pool. I would like to get a pool. No joke. We would use that thing all the time, but we have not. I keep waiting on
I have all my friends that have pools tell me that it's not as cool as you think because you have to clean it. But
that's what I hear.
It's not
too.
Like they got rid of the pool after they got it.
Yeah, that's what
still
I hear
have it.
From everybody. Not everybody, but a lot of people. I'm like, still, we would use the heck out of it if we had one. See, Dumas Deb has always been a cooler nickname than you thought. That's from Shelley. Has Huffling been hurt? Last night seemed like the first time he pitched in a while. Didn't he pitch in the Stanford game?
He pitched in one of the Stanford games, but he was out for 2 weeks before that. Because I was actually going to ask Tim Tadlock at one of the availabilities what the situation was with Max. But he went, I don't know how long he went against Stanford, but the previous time before that was against Baylor. And I think it was basically 2 weeks in between the two. So that seems like a long time for a guy not to pitch. So you can take from that what you will. I mean, certainly could have been some kind of soreness or tightness or something like that. They have not said anything like that, so I'm not suggesting that. But for a reliever and a bullpen that isn't that deep to not see time for 2 weeks, you can kind of read between the lines. There was some reason.
Multiple people chiming in saying OJ died. Seems like that is the case.
Yeah, I think TMZ has even reported he dies after a battle with cancer.
Did we know he had cancer publicly?
Not that I did, but I can't say that I was keeping up with OJ.
You did? Oh, you did not?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know either, so I don't know. It's one of those that's weird, right? Because usually you're like, oh, man, sad. How are we supposed to feel towards OJ? Because I didn't live through – I mean, I was alive during the OJ trial and all that, but I mean, I don't have memories of it.
I was
4 years old when it happened.
I know him for two things. I don't really know him for a football player, because that was after I started watching football, but I know him as one of the people in the Naked Gun movies.
Which one was it?
He's in all of them. He's one of the main characters, but like,
is that pre or post trial?
No, it was pre. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's all pre.
He went from football to commercial and movie actor.
And he was a TV guy. Yeah, like,
I know he did commercials, because there's the one where he's running through the airport hurdling a bunch of stuff as he's trying to get to a plane or something like that.
I think
but that's now. So that's, and then obviously the White Bronco and everything involved with that. So I haven't really kept up with him. For obvious reasons.
Yeah. OJ, it's one of those where it's like, okay. Yeah, I'm not, I mean, it's, I don't want to see people die. I'm not rooting for it or anything, but he also was one that was, has as shady of a past as possible. And the football player was apparently amazing before my time, though. Or y'all can keep chiming in on that. There's several people feisty about, you know, city politics on the
chat. His sports cards are going to go up now.
I would guess so. Yeah. City council stuff, city politics on the chat line. Y'all can go fight amongst yourselves if you want. We'll get back to some McCaslin stuff.
Some more Chamber of Commerce talk coming up a little bit later.
All right. David's an expert. It's the end of the bench on 100.7 The Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Thursday, listening to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. I got it right this time. Ask the Benchwarmers coming your way in 15 minutes. So you got questions, we accept those questions. Bring them in on the 8th Flooring Sitter chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. Y'all keep hitting us up. Right now, I've teased this a little bit. Pro Football Focus has graded out returning players for Big 12 teams in the year of 2024. I'm going to give you the school, and you're going to give me the best player, if you can even think of one,
okay,
that you can think of on that team that's coming back.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the Arizona Wildcats, who are
the quarterback. I can't say his name.
Fafita?
Yeah.
It's actually the receiver.
Oh, okay. Well,
Tetratoria Troa. I don't even know how to say it. He grades out at 87.4. Arizona State.
Jalen Conyers.
That's funny. Probably would have been.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Ed Woods, their cornerback.
Okay.
76.8. Not a very high grade for their.
I had a better chance of knowing Horton Smith.
Baylor. It's on the defensive side.
Baylor on the defensive side. Did he go to Friendship or to Cooper or which
he
one?
He did not.
He did not. Okay. Yeah, got me. Is it no, he's gone.
It is Carl Williams, the fourth.
At least I didn't say A.J. McCarty there.
You didn't. That, yeah. You could have.
I could have, yeah.
BYU.
Is it that spitting linebacker guy? The guy with the – he looks like
– the defensive end?
Yeah, he looks – his head was shaped like the Monsters guy, the Frankenstein guy.
You are correct. It is Tyler Batty.
Yeah.
The edge rusher, 75.6. So he is the Lotus, lowest graded out, highest.
The Lotus.
The Lotus. He's the lowest, highest returner so far out of the Big 12, out of the ones we've mentioned. Cincinnati.
They play football up there, huh?
I guess so. Well, you haven't seen it yet.
No clue.
They come to town this year. Yeah. Dante Corleone. I don't think he's a Godfather person either. 83.6 interior defensive lineman. Colorado.
Shedeur Sanders. Oh, wow. I would have gone Travis Hunter if I would have thought faster.
Shedeur actually grades out better.
Wow.
88.2. I don't know if it has anything to do with Hunter not being on the field as much or...
I think I would go with Travis Hunter, but okay.
Yeah. Next on the list, Houston Cougars.
Donovan Smith.
That is accurate.
When healthy. Did you know he had surgery as well? Shoulder surgery?
I had seen something, yeah. But no, I didn't know he was going to or anything until I saw it on Twitter. 77.2 for Donovan Smith. These are the highest graded returning players. You're doing better than I would have done, probably. Let's go to Iowa State, and I think this may be the highest one of anybody returning the Big 12.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty high up there.
Hmm.
No, it's not. It's not.
I don't even know anybody besides Becht on their team, so I guess I'm stuck with their quarterback.
Try linebacker, Caleb Bacon.
Okay.
He was pretty good
last
year, 89.3. Kansas.
Daniels.
Actually.
Oh, no. Neal.
Neal is correct. 85.7. Running back Neal. Kansas State.
Avery Johnson.
I would have guessed that. It is actually running back DJ Giddens. It grades out better. 84.5. Onward to Oklahoma State.
16 teams.
I know. It's Alan so Bowman. Many, right? Do what?
Alan Bowman.
It's not Alan Bowman.
I know it's not Alan Bowman. I'm going to go Ollie Gordon.
It is Ollie Gordon. Yeah. 83.7.
Why
he grades
did you not
out?
Think the, it was Alan Bowman?
I don't know. 83.7. He grades out quite a bit worse than a lot of the Big 12 running backs. Neal was higher. Giddens is higher.
Yeah, that was the list that Haxton had a couple days ago. It was like by position.
Yeah.
So, and they had Taj Brooks as number one over Ollie Gordon.
Well, you might be foreshadowing on something. TCU.
Ooh. Yikes.
Exactly.
Not even going to try there.
Try Josh Hoover, the quarterback.
Quarterback, yeah.
He grades out at a 75.5, which is the lowest of all of the Big 12 teams.
Oh, look at this guy's fit. Is that Henrik Stenson? No. Oh, my goodness.
Sergio.
Man, he's thin. Gosh. He looked like Mr. Magoo there.
Green and yellow. Green shirt, yellow pants.
Yellow pants.
That is a bold strategy, Cotton. That's not even Baylor or anything.
Wow. Sorry.
You
should have seen it, Lucas. It was crazy. I could see Choice wearing yellow pants like that, though, at the Derby.
I would at the Derby. I'll wear really out there stuff at the Derby. There's no question. UCF?
UCF. Oh, their running back. What's his name? Harvey.
RJ Harvey. Good job. 87.4. Utah. And I said the...
Cam Rising.
I said Josh Hoover was the lowest. It is actually Utah. Their cornerback, Zamaya Vaughn.
Okay.
74.7 is their highest graded player ahead of Cam Rising.
Ahead of Cam Rising. Okay.
Cam Rising did not do well in the grading. And he didn't play a ton last year. So
I was about to say he was hurt. That may
factor into that. West Virginia. There are so many teams in the Big 12.
I was like, my goodness, are we on like 23 now?
16. West Virginia.
West Virginia. Is Green still there?
Garrett Green is the highest graded player in the Big 12 coming back.
Really? The running quarterback?
Garrett Green.
Wow.
Of all players coming back, he is the highest graded player at a 91.
Okay.
The second highest player for Texas Tech. The only one we haven't mentioned.
Taj Brooks.
Yes. 90.1 for Taj Brooks. Garrett Green, 91.0. Those are the only two that grade above a 90. I don't know how their system works.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I would take RJ Harvey. I would take.
Yeah, I think you would take a lot of players over Garrett.
I would take Avery Johnson over him.
I'm not taking.
I would take Allen.
Allen Bowman. Would you take Allen Bowman over?
No.
Garrett Green. Okay. I would take Caleb Bacon. Shadur Sanders. Yeah, there's quite a few that would be ahead. But
according
to Pro Football Focus.
Okay.
And Pro Football Focus does like some Taj Brooks because he breaks a ton of tackles. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't have to break as many this year. I mean, you're like opening holes a little more for him. Between Pampa and Borger up in your neck of the woods. Yes, thank you. I've seen Mike Weir hit a hole-in-one live at the Masters before. That's amazing. So what was that? I'm totally stabbing at this, but that had been like, what, 20 or 2007?
That's probably a good guess. I would go or mid-aughts. I would go in the aughts. I just like saying aughts.
Aughts.
In the aughts.
Mike Weir, way off.
Really?
2003.
That's in the aughts.
Okay.
The aughts are the zeros.
I was way off with my 07. You were in the aughts.
I'm smarter. I gave myself a 10-year window.
You
there.
Did, actually. So was it that year? I want to know from the texter when you saw them, how you got to the Masters, who I need to contact, all of these things. I'm going to the Masters. I've got to.
You need to wear those yellow pants if you go.
I'll wear them just for you. Just for you. Get your questions in. We'll get to Ask the Benchwarmers coming up to close it down. You're listening to The End of the Bench on 100.7 Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is time for Ask the Benchwarmers. Get your questions in now. Yates Flooring Center chat line, easiest route for that. You can tweet us at 107 The Score. David, I think our horse names have gone final.
Oh, really?
I think so. They were in the 20-minute range earlier.
You got to break that news on the bottom line, though, right?
No. I'm not on the bottom line today. Oh. So y'all, we'll give those in a second. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline if you've got any of those questions for Ask the Benchwarmers. Get them in as much as you possibly can. They have gone final.
Oh, boy. You going to rattle them off for all of the... Oh, no. Haxton is going to be very disappointed.
He probably will. Your horses for the Derby coming up, the End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line.
Now, these are joining another group that is already...
Yeah, I'll give those in a second. Okay. Molested Goose has powered through Pod 1. Big Sweaty Cuban edges out Portal Shrinkage in Pod 2. Humpback Gladiator gets by Argentinian Sausage in Pod 3. Balls of Greatness in Pod 4. So you agree with the first three?
I only have two correct right now. I have no problem with Molested Goose. I did not vote for it because it was more of a, I know how bad some people wanted it, so I was doing my best to remove it. I'm not a fan of Balls of Greatness. I'm a witchcraft paraphernalia
guy. I was a Zero Muscles guy, but that one got third. Pod 5 has Air Biscuit getting through. I liked that one and Unleashed Fun, but Air Biscuit over Harry Husk. Pod 6 was probably the toughest pod there was.
That was by far the best one.
Hibachi Sadness gets by Queso Drippage by about 5% of the vote. So Hibachi Sadness through. Road Pickle out of nowhere.
The comeback, yeah.
Comes in and beats Hat Trick Mahomes in Pod 7.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't know what Road Pickle was in reference to. But
I think it had to do with whether I was allowed to eat pickles on a road trip. And Pod 8, Chicken and Drugs came back and beat Noxious Odors and Rainbow Wahini. So Chicken and Drugs through. Meat Sock takes down Ding Dong Daddy in Pod 9. Buttercrotch through in Pod 10. Out on that one. I liked Flaming Disaster. You probably were tip fatigue.
I was tip fatigue.
Pod 11, Waffle Taco. That was yours, right?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
Pod 12, Tobacco Enema.
Let's go.
Tobacco Enema is probably going to have the best or some of the best odds in the race because they crushed the entire competition. A mere mortal, constant companion. There was one typo of all these where the autocorrect got whoever typed these out. People Maker was supposed to be People Mover. But, you know, that's all right. It turned into people. Just like
it wasn't going to win anyway.
Just like Kerwinnaissance has turned into Kerwinnaissance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pod 13, Humpty Doomate beats out Glue Factory by a single vote.
Good.
Humpty Doomate got through. Chatline Tourette's also takes down Shenanigans and Idiot in Pod 14. So there's. There are your horses that got through via the votes. The Golden Buzzer horses were Biblical Battery, Chuck Hate's New Home, Hobbit XXL, Hippo Chrissy, Kerwinnaissance, and Barnyard Pimp. So those are your
Barnyard Pimp
horses that are through for the 2024, the third annual End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line.
Now we need odds for that. We'll put Lucas on that.
Oh, we do the odds.
You do the
put
odds?
Put a whole
okay.
graphic out and everything. We'll put them per, I mean, we'll give colors and odds and all of it.
Good. I'm good with colors. I like colors.
Bench warmers, start bench cut, the Masters, Kentucky Derby, Olympics.
Summer or winter?
Didn't specify.
I will go with the Masters 1 Olympics, and I can watch the Kentucky Derby just like a parade and on television, and it'll be over in a second.
The Derby itself, and I may change this in a few weeks, I mean, it lasts like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the fastest 2 minutes in sports. I, like, if I'm, which I want to go to, Masters 1, Olympics 2, Derby 3.
Yeah.
But
Lucas over there going, oh, Derby number one, without a doubt.
What would you do, Lucas?
He'd hop on one of those horses.
Of course. I would honestly put the Kentucky Derby one, Olympics two, and Masters three.
I'll tell you how it is. I do think Olympics is way up there because you can spend a ton of time. Like, the Masters is a four-day event, which actually lasts all week. I mean, if you go to practice rounds and those sorts of things, everybody remembers Masters champions, right? Everybody
supposedly
remembers Olympians. I can't tell you the name of the jockey or the horse that won last year.
Nope.
Can't remember. There's some that live in fame or infamy. Which one was the one that shot up the drugs?
Got me bad, man.
Started with
There's a reason I cut it.
You cut it? Yeah, oh.
There's a reason I cut it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the actual sports part of it, care way more to about the other two.
I like the radio call or the television call that down the stretch they come. I like that there's a guy named Randy Moss that covers horse racing. Not the guy that was one of the best wide receivers ever. That's my extent of horse racing knowledge.
This question.
I know Wes Welker was having himself a good old time good old a couple time. Years back.
He was dancing with Molly. Shelley says, will we have formal odds next for the horses next week, or do I need to work on that? I'll have it covered. Don't you worry, Shelley. Marion Jones? That's not the horse I was talking about. That is not the horse that I was talking about. No.
Sam will be done with the show momentarily.
Sam. Bobby Hot Dog says, how has he not gotten Horton Smith?
Yeah, it's walking around knowledge.
Jeez, I thought that was walking around. Yeah, my bad, dude. Should have. Chuck Hate's new home for the win. Barnyard Pimp, I'm suing for copyright infringement. How does that work?
I don't know. Maybe you just put all your money on Barnyard Pimp, and then you'll get the money that way.
There you go. That's what Mattress Mac does. Who was the horse that won at, 72-1 odds 2 years ago?
I don't know. That's the only thing I was thinking of. I was like, didn't somebody that with the worst odds win?
Yeah,
it?
But yeah. I can't remember the name of the horse. Clue. And that's the thing. I could tell you Seabiscuit.
Secretariat.
And that wasn't even a Derby horse. I can tell you Secretariat. Yeah. There was a something Pharaoh like yeah, in recent sounds, years. Yeah. I can't remember. See, and again, it's just, yeah. I mean,
Bob
love
Baffert.
That's the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember his name more than any jockey.
That's what I'm saying.
So
American Pharaoh. There you go.
Good job. Someone texted.
Mm.
American Pharaoh. Thank you. Thank you for that. You can keep getting questions in if you want on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
I think we need to have a Lucas dress up as a jockey on Derby Day. You can dress up. You and Clint and everybody can dress up. We all have to dress up on Derby Day.
On the actual Derby Day?
On our Derby Day, and Lucas okay, has to I'll go wear, get a jockey costume.
I will wear my clothes that I'm wearing to the actual Derby.
Yeah, there you go.
In.
Perfect.
Should I?
Maybe.
I will get so hot. I'm wearing, which I'm going to there anyway. It's like a white linen suit. So
there also needs to be a horse in the parking lot. Anybody know? Anybody over there and get?
I bet Sneed can hook us up with a Masked Rider.
Yeah, Masked Rider can be come over on. There.
Hey,
everybody,
I'll
need to dress up for this.
Let's go. Have we not had the Masked Rider as a horse? That thing would be the best odds ever. Gas Station Fireball won last year. Jim Beam was the jockey. Gas Station Fireball did win last year. Inner City Squirrel the year before. See, we remember the horses that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, those ones. We got those down. But here we go. The 20-horse field is set. We're going to put Clint to work quite a bit. David, thanks for putting up with me. We will, I don't know, we may have a date next week. Something like that.
Sweet. Look forward to it. Dad jokes and all.
Woo! It's been the end of the bench. For David Collier, Lucas White, I'm Choice Woodman. You got the bottom line coming your way next here on 100.7 The Score.
You didn't even remember the name of the show.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.